We are in our final week of our series called Holy Roar, seven words that change or maybe even should define our worship. In week one, we looked at Todah, extending a hand in confession and thanksgiving and praise. In week two, we also looked at Barak, to bless, to kneel, to praise or salute. Then we looked at, what Tina looked at, two words, Zamar, to make music unto the Lord. And then a word that you heard her use several times today, Tahilah, a song of praise, a spontaneous new song unto the Lord. I love that word because it should remind us that this spontaneous new song, we should always be having a new song unto the Lord as we see new blessings in our lives and new opportunities to serve Him. It's not like one time we get excited about God. This is a lifelong pursuit of who our Lord is and praising Him. He is forever doing something new if only we are watching, if only we are paying attention. And then we looked at Yada, to throw or cast from the hands. It's as though we're throwing praises up to God. And then the final word we looked at last week was halal, to shine, to make a show, be clamorously foolish for the Lord, to boast or to celebrate God and who He is. This week we're going to look at our final word, our seventh word, just one word, and that word is Shabbach. To laud, praise, commend, or boast of something. You ever met somebody that boasted of something? Do you know anybody who boasts of anything? Like, I don't know, Michigan fans today? Have you noticed that you'll know who the Michigan fans are today because the smile just can't be peeled off their faces? It's just there. I mean, as much as you want to smack it off, it's there. The word Shabbach shows up a total of 11 times in the Old Testament, a total of six in the Psalms. So over half are in the Psalms. And it actually has two meanings. The first is to, as we said, to laud, praise, commend, or boast of. As in Psalm 63, verses 3 and 4, where it says, my lips will glorify you because your faithful love is better than life. So I will Shabbach, I will bless you. As long as I live, at your name I will lift up my hands. Imagine that, hearing the name of God and lifting up your hands just because you hear His name spoken. But it also has another meaning. Can also mean to soothe or to still. As in Psalm 65, verse 7, it says, you silence, you Shabbach, the roar of the seas, the roar of their waves, and the tumult of the nations. I'm reminded of Jesus in the boat on the sea, right? And as all of His disciples are freaking out because of the storms and the waves, and Jesus just stands up and says, be still. He would have used a Greek word or an Aramaic word, so it wouldn't be Shabbach, but I think the idea of Shabbach is there. This notion of speaking with such boldness and frankly such power that the world has no choice but to listen. It's the same here where He says, you, God, silence the roar of the waves. You Shabbach them. The power of God commenced in a word. We also see Shabbach used in the shortest psalm in all of Scripture. Two verses, Psalm 117. I think it's odd that two chapters later, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in all of Scripture. But it says this, it says, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise, by the way, is halal. It's one of our other words. Praise the Lord, all nations. Glorify, Shabbach Him, all peoples. For His faithful love to us is great. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Hallelujah. This idea of Shabbat is more than just a personal roar toward God or a holy calling out, a loud praise to God. It is also a corporate one that ultimately God calls the whole world to. Certainly calls us to together as we are in a room together. I think to understand the word Shabbat, I think though we have to take it outside of Scripture, maybe to understand what it means. Because, you know, ancient Hebrew isn't just the language they used to write the Bible, right? The Old Testament. They also spoke it on a daily basis. Kind of how you read English in the Bible, you read Scripture, but we also use English words to communicate, do we not? I think sometimes with ancient Hebrew, we kind of just say, think to ourselves, well, it must have, it's just a Bible language. No, it was also a human language. They used it to communicate with one another, just as we use English to communicate with one another. So the people of God likely Shabbat, praised, commended, boasted of more things than just the Lord. We know if we watch and read through the Old Testament, we know there are times when they probably Shabbat other gods. They certainly followed other gods. I would imagine they also boasted, commended, and sang out praises to other gods when they were lost. I would imagine that they probably were forced to, or maybe some by choice did it for, I don't know, Pharaoh at times, where they lifted up their voices and praised him. The truth is, we still, Shabbat today, we still boast of and praise things outside of the Lord. We commend musicians and we commend actors at the end of a production by giving them a standing ovation. Shabbat, this loud praise, right? We sometimes boast, we Shabbat on behalf of our children and their accomplishments. Either telling everybody we know that our kid just did this really amazing thing, or posting it on every social media outlet we can. Sometimes we do it by repetition. We're just repeatedly saying, do you know what my kid did yesterday? Do you know what he did? Do you know what she did? Do you know what they did? Why would you do that? Because you're proud of your child. We do it for our grandchildren. Just learn to walk, right? Let me show you the video, right? This idea of boasting, of things we are proud of. Sometimes it comes in the form of, yes, this loud, audible thing, but sometimes it just comes through repetition and persistence. This is something that is in our hearts and on our hearts, and so we express it often, freely and often. Sometimes we express Shabbat hoping when we're in an argument with somebody that we're going to say that one thing that's going to silence them. You've never done that in an argument with a spouse or anything, have you? Where you're hoping you're going to say the magical words and your spouse will just go, okay, you win. Fun fact, never going to happen. But I've seen couples try. We use this word. We express this feeling often that we don't call it Shabbat, we call it so many other things, but it is a human emotion. In fact, I would say that the largest Shabbat, or raising, or boasting of, or being excited of, and lifting up that I've ever been a part of as a group, this group calling, was probably not at a church at all. It was probably at a concert. Or maybe at a football game. I definitely have memories of growing up when I was a kid. My dad and I, and sometimes my brother, he would trade us on and off because we only got two tickets. We would go watch OSU play basketball in this old arena, in St. John's Arena, which I think is way cooler than the current one because it went like straight up. It was a bear to climb the steps. When you're 8 years old and you're going up to the nosebleeds, that's a project. My dad had the patience of Job because I'm sure I was whining incessantly about more, come on. But I remember just kind of, it felt like I don't know what it would be like to be the other team, because it would feel like that the whole world was closing in on you, right? But it's this idea of just bringing all of who you have to a moment where you are willing to lift up your voice freely. You're willing to act a little crazy, a little foolish, a little halal, because you're not worried about what anybody else thinks. You are bringing all of who you are to this moment, to shabach a basketball team, or shabach a football team, or shabach an actor or an actress or a musician at the end of a concert. We seem to have the ability, whatever passion we have in our lives, we have the ability to be willing to be unbridled in our expression and boasting and commendation of something that we are passionate about. Unless none of you have ever voraciously cheered for anything. I would imagine most all of us have. To shabach is to focus those praises and that unbridled commitment and passion for and excitement about into the things of God and into the Lord himself. This is truly a holy roar. Maybe this word, more than even the other six, really exemplifies what it means to have a holy roar unto the Lord, right? Because you know, when a lion chooses to roar, he ain't playing. He wants everybody to hear it from as far away as humanly possible. It ain't a game. It's not a joke. It's not just a baby. He is girding up and ready to go, right? He wants everybody to know. That's what this shabach is. It's this idea that I'm going to give it all of who I got in this moment of praise to the Lord. I'm going to give him everything I have. This is what shabach looks like. Can you imagine sitting in a room of 100,000 people all raising up everything they've got to the Lord? Can you imagine what it would be like in this room if we were all raising up everything we had to the Lord? Nothing held back. I'm not worried about whether or not somebody else sees me do something silly or thinks I can't sing. I'm not worried about anything else. I'm just in that moment being in the presence of the Lord and saying, yes, you are worth boasting of. You are worth commending. You are worth crying out to. You are worth celebrating. Beyond anything else that's going on in my mind, anything else that's going on in this world, anything else that we might have brought in with us, to be in a moment of shabach, where we are freed of the things of this world and focused our hearts and our minds and our bodies and our strength. There might be some scripture in there about that, right? Soul, everything of who we are is focused on the Lord. That is a shabach. And the truth is, if we can't shabach here, we're going to struggle to shabach anywhere. This is a place where God's glory should be unquestioned. This is a place when we are here together, whether it be in this sanctuary on a Sunday morning or a group of ladies at a ladies' breakfast or men at a men's breakfast, when we are together with other followers of the Lord, our shabach should be like a lion's roar. It is heard and seen and known. We're not worried about what anybody else thinks. It's that kind of unbridled passion that God is calling us to. And that's not a passion for just for the sake of passion. It has a purpose. If we read the word shabach in Psalm 145, verse 4, and this is the verse we're really going to center around. It says, one generation will shabach, will declare your words, your works to the next, and will proclaim your mighty acts. This idea that the shabach is supposed to be infectious. Right? As my dad and when I would go to these Ohio State games and cheer on this team, the energy and the commitment and the passion that others have around me created something in me, right? I didn't have a passion for Ohio State until I went to school there, and actually until I started going to basketball games. That passion grew when I would be sitting in the stadium and around more people who are also boasting, right? Also commending, also excited. And isn't that the hope of creating those environments for college sports or pro sports? You're trying. They are trying. It's a marketing thing. They are trying to create multi-generational commitment and passion for this thing. Right? They're trying to see parents pass down this passion for their school or for their pro team to the next generation, to ingrain it in them as well. The truth is, we have an opportunity as followers of God, as the older generation, and that can come in lots of scales. If you're among the oldest here, then you are the oldest generation currently here, and you've got three or four below you you can impact. If you're slightly younger than them, you've got two or three you can impact. You see how this works? This multi-generational idea of declaring the greatness of our God so that those who come behind us will see him and experience his glory and engage in him and come to know him and be excited about following Jesus. This is our witness. In many ways, our Shabbat, our passion for the Lord, our willingness to roar for him, to grow in him, to do different things in him, to celebrate him, is what pays forward to the next generation. I got news for you. Nobody wants to follow people who are just kind of, oh, yes, I know God, he's great. You should think he's great too. Man, the ones coming behind you, they want to know that this God that we serve, this God that we serve changes lives. This God that we serve is worthy of every ounce of praise and energy and time and effort and what we can invest and do for him. And they want to know and see that even as they grow older, that their fire will not shrink, it will grow. They want to know they're being with somebody and around others who will pour into their lives because they believe this roaring out of who God is, this teaching of who he is, this declaring his works to the next generation and proclaiming his mighty acts, his critical, and it's valuable, and it's purposeful, and it is our calling upon our lives. See, Shabbat is more than just a lifting up of voices. It is a lifting up of our lives and a celebration of our Savior with each and every day that passes. And we might want to get good at that, because when we pass on into the presence of God and his glory, guess what we're going to do 24/7? We're going to Shabbat, right? We're going to Shabbat, Tehillah, Yada. What are the other ones? Huh? Halal, Zamar, Barach. We're going to do all of these things all the time. Come on now. As we get closer to that day, frankly, that should be more exciting to us. That should grow in us. Because that's what we're going to get to do forever. Right? Come on now. Sometimes we are sad about the things that are going on in this world. It frustrates us. We look at the darkness and the fallenness. But remember, we're the saved. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are among the saved. Your eternity is already laid out for you, and it's a whole lot of Shabbat. And it's a whole lot of the presence of God. If that's not worth celebrating, I have no idea what is. This holy roar as Darren Whitehead says, the guy who wrote this book, it says, is for the purpose of passing on the faith from one generation to the next. The next generation, the future church, is waiting for the sound of Shabbat from those who have come before them. Our younger people are watching those who are one step further along, two steps further along in life, and asking themselves, is this worth continuing to pursue? It's true. They're saying, I want to be with people who are also on fire for God. In fact, more on fire. That can teach me how to be more on fire. That can help me grow so that I can help the next person grow. They're not thinking that far ahead yet. They're just thinking about how I can grow. But we know that's how this works, right? One generation proclaims the Lord to the next, declares the works to the next, and proclaims his mighty acts. That is what this is all about. We are carriers of the word of God. We are carriers of the message of the gospel. We are carriers of salvation. We are carriers, at our best, we are carriers of Shabbat. This powerful praise. We use these words rather easily in our sanctuary, where we're commending and boasting of our God with passion and sometimes even volume. We're calling on him to silence the evil of the world or to soothe the waves of our soul. But we're called to Shabbat in more than just a place. We're called to Shabbat all the time. We're called to lift up the name of the Lord and to celebrate his greatness in what he does in our world every day, boasting of Jesus in our homes, boasting of Jesus and his greatness at our workplaces, proclaiming not only what God has done for us, but to do so often. We don't just proclaim what God has done for us once. We proclaim it often, regularly. We repeat it. Because when you're excited about something or you're boasting about something or you're commending something, you don't just say it once and let it go. You repeat it. Do you not? It's to proclaim the Lord so that all might hear. And I realize what that's asking. That's asking us to be willing to take a risk. That's asking us to be willing to be rejected. For some of us, if you're praising the Lord in your job, it might be a risk that it might affect your employment. And that's a frightening thing. But I got to tell you, I think we've been kind of convinced and scared into not sharing who our God is because of what consequences could happen. When I'm more concerned about what consequences happen when we don't. And we see it every day. We see a world that is confused and dark and falling apart. And I can't help but think it's because we don't have enough Shabbat. We are less willing to declare the works of our Lord day in and day out. To declare it in our words and to declare it in our actions. Daily prioritizing our pursuit of God. Daily saying, I will lift him up in my practice of prayer, in my practice of studying his word, in my practice of admitting my own faults. And recognizing that he is the one who can heal. That he is the one who can change. My practice of lauding or praising God, declaring him through my actions and laying down my own will and my own pride and picking up his cross instead. Because if we're willing to give over all of who we are to our Lord, I don't know what else cries out louder to others when they see it. Because when all is said and done, more is said than done. It's the doing that really brings our faith to life. It's living out our lives as a praise to God, as a Shabbat to God. because if we're risky enough to tell somebody about who Jesus is in our workplace or in our school or in our friend group or in some other social setting or even in a church, because believe it or not, there are still people among us that do not know the Lord or who are questioning their relationship with God. And when they come here, they need us to remind them how great our God is. You've all been there at some point. I guarantee it. And it took somebody who was willing to bravely say, you know what? Our God is that great, and I believe it. And maybe you had to cling on to their faith for just a minute as yours caught back on fire. If you're in that place right now, we're here to help you do that. I would ask you to raise your hand, but that takes a lot of guts. It's in allowing God, our Shabbat, is in allowing him to mold and remold us in his image throughout our lives and Shabbat-ing it to the world. That's not a word, but it's all I could come up with. Telling it to the world what he is doing to us. It's taking the time to pour that into others. I was having a conversation earlier this week with a family, a younger family, and they were talking about this reticence or hesitation in asking someone from an older generation to connect with them, to meet with them, to pour into their lives because they don't want to be a burden on those older folks. Hey, older folks, if a younger family asked you to pour into their lives, would you see that as a burden? Right? Absolutely not. It would be a privilege. It would be a privilege. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I see a lot of older people saying, I would love to pour into somebody else's life, but I don't want to be a burden onto them. I don't know if I have anything to offer. Stop lying to yourself. It's not true. You are one step further along. If you're just one step further along in this process, this journey towards God, you've got something to pour into somebody else. Something to speak into their lives to a younger family or someone who's not even got a family yet. They're just kids. They're just teenagers, right? They're just little ones. If you're a teenager, you can pour into the little ones. If you're in your 20s, you can pour into the teenagers. If you're in your 30s, you pour into the people in your 20s. And if you're blessed enough to be still around here in your 60s or 70s or 80s, you get to pour into all of them. Come on now. This is what it means to pay forth our faith to the next generation. There's so much wisdom in this building. So many blessings and so many reasons to celebrate, to lift up, to praise, to laud, to shout out the mighty works of God in our lives. That's our witness. To pour into those who are behind us. Because that's our greatest legacy. Our greatest legacy is to impact those we are blessed with having an opportunity to pour into with the greatness of our God. That's what will carry on long after the building is gone. Because I don't know about you, but I have yet to be in a church building that was built in 33 AD and is still here. It doesn't happen. Chances are 300 years from now, we won't even be singing in English or reading in English. That's crazy to think, right? It is the legacy. It is the proclamation, the declaration of his works to the next generation that will leave the legacy, and it's the legacy we're supposed to leave. If you look at, this is really what it means. Jesus talks about it because Jesus is God, right? In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, it says, you, he's talking to who? Me, you, us, followers of Jesus, right? You are the light of the world. a city situated on a hill that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. Sometimes I feel like we keep our lights under a basket. We keep our lights under a basket because we've been convinced somewhere along the way our light isn't worth shining. Or we keep it under a basket because we think it's dimmer than it should be and we're embarrassed by it. Or we keep it under a basket because maybe we've forgotten what we're called to do. Because it's safer. It's more comfortable. It doesn't require a lot of risk. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. There it is, living it out every day, right? In your actions and who, what you choose to do with your time and who you pour into and where you're willing to talk about Jesus and where you're willing to lift up his name, right? So that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Church, our job is to shine. Our job is to shine on one another. Our job is to shine on the world. Our job is to shabach, to declare the works of our God to anyone and everyone who will listen. Because remember, this holy roar is called to be all people. In the shortest psalm, Psalm 117, right? Simple words. One psalm. Come on, find it, Rob. I got issues. All right. This one song. Praise the Lord, all nations. Glorify him. Shabach him. All peoples, not just one or two, not just three or four, not just in the comfort of our own home. This is intended to be all of who we are with each and every day. And I want to be very clear about that. Our God is worth praising, not just for a minute, not just till I can muster up enough strength, not just for an hour on Sunday. He is worth praising every moment with every breath we take. And I'm going to be really frank, church. The world needs us to be shining cities on a hill right now. It needs us to be, to take whatever we're getting in here and to take it out there. Because if it just stays here, that's a big old basket. It's hiding under a basket. For some of us, that's going to be very hard. Because the longer that we have not shown our light in the world, the scarier it is to pull it back out. But I got to tell you, he's worth every bit of it. This is our Lord whom we praise. This is our Lord whom we claim to follow. This is our Lord that is the Savior of the world. And quite frankly, sometimes I think we'd be better off if we just chucked the basket in the trash can so we had no temptation to use the basket and we would just go out into the world and just be crazy for Jesus, Jesus freaks every day. And some of y'all are going, I don't have enough in me for that. You might not, but you know who does? The Lord. And something funny happens when we just do what he's asking us to do. And find out that he will carry us to do that work. We need to be brave. We are in a season where we have an opportunity to be a light in the world. And he is showing us opportunities. He's showing us opportunities at Daily Bread. He's showing us opportunities to serve at a food truck. We did last time, if you looked at the pictures of those who went in November, it was almost all Gretna people. They had 450 cars come through. How many opportunities is that to shine a light? To walk alongside each of those cars. And one of our people thought of that, Carrie Jackson, to walk along the sides of those cars and offer to pray for people. Right? He's offering us opportunities to reach out in our schools. He's offering us opportunities with our recovery group that's just getting off the ground, but so many blessings that I've seen received and felt through all of it. I've been greatly blessed by it because I get to see his light shine through others. These are powerful opportunities. There are so many people in this congregation that are longing for a deeper relationship with somebody else. And they're just afraid to ask because they don't want to be a burden. And we're just afraid to offer because we don't want to be a burden. Can I just tell you? That's the opposite of declaring his works. Declaring his righteousness to one another. We can do this. Well, God can do this. Fun fact, he's gonna do it. We just have to decide whether or not we're gonna shine alongside him.